The Gospel of John, chapter number 4, and let's look at verses 5 and 6. John chapter 4, and we're going to look back at verses 5 and 6 just to begin with. And the title of the message this afternoon is Laborers Together, Rewarded Together. Laborers Together, Rewarded Together. John chapter 4, and let's go ahead and stand and read a couple of verses here to begin with. John chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Then cometh he to Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat down on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd use your truth today, to your word, to speak to us and to challenge us. Help us, Lord, to realize the importance of being laborers together, to see how we can be rewarded together by you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. We read here, and we read through quite a bit of this chapter this morning when we were talking about the story of the woman at the well and how Jesus had said, I must needs go through Samaria. Why did he do that? We said, because, well, there was a woman there that needed to be saved. And secondly, because he needed to show us and his disciples that we need to love and go to and witness to the people that we may not ordinarily love. And we need to care for them. But I want you to see something, a real different thought this afternoon from a few verses here and then later verses in the chapter. Jesus here, we read in verses 5 and 6, he was weary after the journey to Samaria. And being thirsty there, he sits down by the well. Being hungry, the disciples end up going into the city to buy meat, and we read about that. Here at the well, Jesus speaks to the Samaritan woman about her need for the living water, and we understand through the chapter that she ends up believing on Christ and she is saved. Go down to John chapter 4 now in verse 27. John chapter 4 and verse number 27. The Bible says, and upon this came his disciples. Upon what? They upon seeing Jesus, having talked with the Samaritan woman. And the disciples are like, what were you doing? Why are you talking to that woman? Because again, they themselves, even though they were disciples of Christ and they were still just learning everything though, they had some prejudices of their own. They were Jews that didn't like the Samaritans just like anybody else. And so they come back and they're a little bit surprised that Jesus was here, first off, talking to a woman, talking to the woman of Samaria. Notice again what it says, John 4:27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The disciples come back with the meat that they'd gone into the city to buy, and they wondered why Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman. They had a prejudice, again, against the people of Samaria, but Jesus cared for her soul. While they were filled with, like, what are you doing, Jesus? They didn't ask why he was talking to her. Notice what the verse said. They said, what are you doing? You know, they didn't really want a good reason. This, why are you talking to her? What are you talking to her for? Jesus cared for her soul, and that's why he talked to her. That's why he tried to ask for the water and then shared with, no. Really, it's me that can give you the water. I'm the living water, and I can give you water that you'll never thirst again. Jesus cared for her soul. Keep reading and go down to verse 31, John 4:31. In the meanwhile, remember verse 29 and 30, let's read there. Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? She goes back to the city, the woman does, and she's telling everybody about Jesus, and so they go out to see him. In the meanwhile, the Bible says, so while the lady's gone off and she's witnessing and she's testifying and telling people about Jesus, the disciples are still there with him. And in the meanwhile, verse 31, his disciples prayed him. They asked him, saying, Master, eat. Master eats. It's time to eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Verse 33, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? I mean, we went to the city. Remember, we went to the city to get meat. Did somebody else give him meat to eat that we don't know about? What is this? Verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now listen to this. The disciples were trying to get Jesus to eat the meat that they bought. But he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I don't know how to explain it, but it is true what Jesus said. And I know in my own life there's been times where I've felt that way too. They're here and they're coming and they're trying to offer him, here's some meat. Here, come sit down. Come eat a fillet of fish. You know, come eat a Big Mac. Come eat a Whopper. Come eat this. They're trying to offer him these things. And Jesus says, no, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I maybe can't explain it well, but I know that physically there have been times in my own life, whether it be in Bible college, being real busy on some day. In Bible college, there was times where, you know, I was late to bed on a Saturday night, visiting all day in Chicago, getting home very late, getting up early in the morning, going to a bus center, picking up a bus, coming back to the college, picking up college students, going to Chicago, knocking on doors, picking up people for church, bringing them to Sunday school, being in church with them, taking them back to Chicago, running around getting more teenagers and people to come back to church that night, bringing them to church, taking them back to Chicago, preaching like a maniac all day, dropping them off, then taking college students back to the church, dropping them off, then going back, taking a bus back to a bus center, sweeping it out, eventually coming home, you know, midnight. And there'd be times like that, days like that, where, you know what? Oh, hadn't eaten or forgotten to eat. And you know what? Sometimes my meat was to do the work of God. I'm not much like Jesus, but you know what? When he says this, I understand that feeling. And my wife could probably tell you, there's probably been times on some days in our church or in our ministry here where you've just been busy and you're looking to care after other people and take care of other people. And then when it comes to the end of the day, maybe you do want to sit down and eat something, but you've gone all day and maybe not eaten because we're busy or we were having some special day or we're having this going on and we're running from one place to another doing all these things. And I understand what Jesus was talking about. He was consumed with something else. He was consumed with the ministry. He was consumed with doing the work that the Father had sent him to do. And so he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. There's been times where physically, when doing God's work, maybe it does bring a rush of adrenaline, or it does bring some strength that you don't care about whether or not you've eaten because you've got other things that you're focusing on and worrying about all day. And that's what Jesus was saying to his disciples. Listen, I really not concerned about the fillet of fish right now. I'm not concerned about the meat sandwich that you're bringing me. I've got meat to eat that you know not of. You've been off in town. You've been looking for McDonald's and Burger King. You've been looking for the local butcher shop. You've been looking for some meat to bring back. I've been out here doing the work. I've been out here witnessing to a woman. I've been out here telling this woman about how she can have the living water and be saved. You know what? That's a thrill. That's a thrill of ministry sometimes, doing the work of God where the necessary food and meat becomes not so necessary because we are wrapped up in doing the work of God. I'm not saying that you shouldn't eat. I'm saying that was what Jesus, because he was so wrapped up in doing the work that he was sent to do, he was so wrapped up in caring for that woman's soul, he didn't care whether physically he had eaten or not. I have meat to eat that you know not of. Look at verse number 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus told the disciples that his meat, his portion, his food, his need, his desire, more than anything else, was to do the will of the Father. It was to do the work that he was sent into the world to do. It was to seek and to save the lost. We too should be busy about the Lord's work. I want you to turn with me over to John chapter 20. We'll come back to John 4 in just a moment, but look at John chapter 20 with me. John chapter 20 and verses 21 and 22. You know what? We're to be busy about the Lord's work. You say, could there be times where, you know what, I get so wrapped up in ministry and serving the Lord or serving somebody else that, you know, I don't even care if I miss lunch? Yeah. You might think now, man, that would never happen to me. You know, I've got to eat five times a day. You know, I love to eat. But you know what? There may come a day where you're so wrapped up in ministry that, like Jesus, your meat is doing the work of God, that you don't care if you missed a meal. Because you know what? You are busy doing this or serving somebody else. And to skip a meal doesn't mean that much to you. We all should be doing the Lord's work. And we won't do all that Jesus did, but we're to do what Jesus did and to do greater works in Him. John 14 teaches us. Greater works than these shall you do because I go unto my Father. Notice what John 20 says. John chapter 20 and verse 21 and 22. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you, the Bible says. So Jesus says, listen, as the Father sent me into the world and He gave me a work to do, even so send I you. I'm sending you. I'm giving you a work to do. I'm leaving you a job to do. And just like Jesus said, hey, my meat, my purpose, my will and my work and so on is doing what the Father sent me to do. Even so, I've sent you. I've left you a work to do. There are things I want you to do. Notice verse 22. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. I see in those verses two things. There's a divine command. There's a divine command where we're commanded to go. Jesus has said, I'm sending you. Just like the Father sent me to do a work, I'm sending you. There are things I want you to do. Hey, there are good works ordained for each of you to do. There are things foreordained that God wants you to do for Him. There are people that God wants you to witness to. Just like Jesus was there and went through Samaria because there was a woman there that He needed to tell about the Messiah, tell about Christ, tell about the living water. Listen, there are people that God could use you to reach. People God could use you to witness to. I'm glad God foreordained for me and George to go knocking doors on that Thursday night about a month ago when we met Chris for the first time, maybe 4 or 6 weeks ago. And we got to meet Chris, and I don't think it was an accident, and neither do you. And he told me a story. He told me that how he had, you know, he wouldn't necessarily normally do it, but he went and cleaned off all the ice that week in the days before we came. You know what? Maybe it's because God knew we needed to go there. God knew we needed to go there, and maybe we'd be afraid to walk on something if it was just an ice way. You know what? God has things for us to do. And God has works for us to do. And God allowed us to meet Chris and begin to witness to Chris and share the gospel with Chris. Listen, but for every one of us, there may be somebody else that God could use you to witness to do a work for Christ. We see that there's a divine command. All of us ought to have a part of the work. And then we see that there's divine power to do the work. He said, he breathed them, said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. A divine command, but we also have divine power to do that work. Listen, we all should be busy about the Lord's work. That's why the message is this, laborers together. Because do you know that the Lord's work is not just the Lord's work? It's for you and me. We are all to have a part in the Lord's work. Reagan, you can have a part in the Lord's work. Lauren can have a part in the Lord's work. Courtney can have a part in the Lord's work. Lucy can have a part in the Lord's work. George can have a part in the Lord's work. Ruby can have a part in the Lord's work. Eddie can have a part in the Lord's work. We all can. When you come to church and you do some things to serve others and serve Christ, and you're doing that for the Lord, you're having a part in the Lord's work. When you pick up gospel tracts and you go pass them out, you're having a part in the Lord's work. When you invite somebody to church or give them a ride to church or you go out witnessing or you teach a Sunday school class, listen, you are having a part in the Lord's work. We are to be laborers together with God. We must be busy about the work because the fields are white already unto harvest. Notice what the Bible says back there in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 35. Jesus here in His speaking to the disciples was trying to get them to see the importance of getting the Lord's work done. That's why Jesus could say, I'm not worried about meat.
I didn't need the sandwich so much. I had some meat to eat. Meat to eat that you know not of. I've been busy doing the Lord's work, and I've been having a grand time.
We're to be a part in that work, and we need to see the urgency of it. Look what the Bible says in John 4 and verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He had said in the previous verse, I've come to do his work. I'm come and I need to finish his work. But here he tells them in verse 35, Jesus speaks to the disciples and says, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. Boy, we can sometimes just be so focused on ourselves and our own little world and our own life that we don't lift up our eyes and look and see that, hey, there's a work all around us. There's the Lord's work needing to be done all around us. Do you ever, you know, just stop to look at the people that you pass by? When you see a school letting out and all those teenagers coming out of there. And do you ever think those people need Jesus Christ? And I know Jesus Christ. Could I help share Jesus Christ with them? Do you ever see people maybe getting off the subway or people getting off a bus and just do you ever think, well, there's so many people here that need Jesus Christ. Could I help to bring Christ to them? I mean, do we ever lift up our eyes and look on the fields? Do we ever lift up our eyes and see the needs of people? You know what the disciples saw? In the first place, they really did not understand. Why are we going through Samaria? You know what Jews would normally do? They would travel all the way around. They would rather avoid Samaria than to have to deal with them. But Jesus takes them right through the middle of it. They were already in a place where maybe they were a little bit uncomfortable. You know what the disciples did? They looked and they saw Samaritans. You know what Jesus did? He looked and he saw a soul. He looked and he saw the soul of that woman. He looked and he saw the soul of someone who was lost and who needed Jesus Christ and who needed the living water. The disciples just saw Samaritans, people that they did not particularly like, but Jesus saw souls who needed to be saved, and that's why he went through Samaria. Listen, we need to lift up our eyes and look on the fields and see people the way that Jesus Christ sees people. When we labor together in God's work, it is an eternal work. And there is fruit for eternity. It makes an eternal difference to the souls of men and women and boys and girls. If we lift up our eyes and we see people the way that God sees people, we'll see that they have a soul. We will see that they are someone that, if they are lost without Christ, they will die and spend eternity separated from God. If we see people the way Jesus sees people, we'll see that people die and they need to know Jesus Christ before it's too late. People must hear the gospel. People must receive him and be saved. Oh, it does make a difference. We need to be laborers together in God's work because, listen, how will the Lord's work get done if we don't do it? The Lord Jesus Christ, he left. He died and he was buried. He was resurrected. He did spend some days with the disciples, but then he ascended and went to heaven and said, even as my Father has sent me, so send I you. I have to go away. I'm going to be glorified now. I'm going to go back. I'm going to sit at the right hand of my Father. But I'm leaving you here to do my work. We need to be laborers together in the Lord's work. Laborers with God. Laborers with Jesus Christ. Laborers with the Holy Spirit. Laborers with other believers in doing the Lord's work. Again, notice what the Bible says. Go back to John 4 and look at verse 35 to verse 38. John chapter 4 and verse 35 to verse 38. It says, there say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. When we are laboring together in God's work, we will also be rewarded together. You know what, there may be times where we sow the seed of the gospel. And later on, another person comes along to reap. You know, when that happens, that's a blessing. That's a joy, because we're just laborers together. There may be times where we sow a seed, and later on, somebody comes along and they pick the fruit off that. They get to see a person make a decision to trust Christ as their Savior. And maybe you spent weeks or months or years praying for that person. Maybe you had times where you did try to share the gospel, or did try to give that person a track, or did try to witness to that person sometimes. But God maybe sends another Christian along at some point where they get to be the one to reap, if you will, to see the fruit gathered, where a person does make a decision to trust Christ, be born again. That's all just laboring together. We'll be laborers together, we'll be rewarded together. You know, there may be times where we're sowing the seed, times where we're watering, times where we're praying, times where we're reaping, but all of the work is important. We labor together in Christ's work and we'll be rewarded together as well. Turn with me to one passage of Scripture and we'll finish there. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 5 to 9. If you're in John, just keep turning to the right. You'll find Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3. And verses 5 to 9. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 to 9. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed. Paul and Apollos were both ministers. They were both preachers. But you know what Paul is saying here when he writes this? He says, we were nobody special. We were just simply ministers. We were servants of the Lord. We maybe helped to share the gospel with different ones of you. And because of that, you believed. But really, we're nobody special. He says, who then is Paul and who's Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted. He said, I sowed the seed, Apollos watered the seed, but it's God that gave the increase. It's God that brought about the harvest. It's God that did some things to bring about a fruitful harvest there in the city of Corinth. It was God that blessed the efforts of sowing the seed and watering the seed and so on. And it's God that gave an increase. It's God that did a work. So we're laborers together. He says then in verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything. In other words, we're nothing special in and of ourselves. Neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. He's the special one. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. Listen, it is a privilege. We can be the servants of Christ, and we can be privileged to have a part in his work. It is God that allows us the opportunity to be used by him to share the gospel. God uses people. This isn't really a story of somebody getting saved, but you know, Eric and Ashley last Saturday, a week ago, they were passing out some tracts and flyers on a street over here. And I got a phone call this week from Raga. Do you remember that Egyptian lady, Astrid Raga? And she used to like to maybe sit with Jennifer and Sonia lots of times. And she went back to Egypt a few years ago now, I feel like. But it turns out, anyway, she's come back. She a few years ago came to our church many, many times and so on. And you know what? It's when people go out and sow seeds and so on that there's fruit. And here's a lady that didn't necessarily know if we were still here or not. And she got that flyer and she called and she's having knee surgery this week. But she said, when I get feeling better after that, I want to start coming back to church again. You know what? There are people that will come to Christ, people that will get saved, people that will learn the Word of God or have their lives changed. They'll get new purpose in life. They'll learn to live a new way. They'll learn to please Christ with their life. Why? If people will just go and labor together. You may pray for someone. You may witness to someone. You may share a gospel tract with someone. You may go knock on someone's door and invite them to church. You may try to share with someone your testimony. And listen, God could use the work of many people together to bring about a fruitful harvest. We're just blessed and privileged that God will use us in some way. We are the tools that God uses to share the gospel with the world. It is our job to plant and our job to water and our job to sow the seed. It is our job to love people and it is God's job to give the increase. It's the Holy Spirit of God that convicts hearts and draws men to Christ. But it can be us that helps them to know about Christ. It can be us that tells them about Christ. If we labor together with the Lord and with others, we will be rewarded together one day. And I think that's a big part of what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. You know, you've been busy off looking for meat. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. My meat is to finish his work. My meat is to do what he sent me to do. Listen, there's a great joy and blessing that comes from doing the work of the Lord. And every one of us is supposed to do the work of the Lord. You say, no, Pastor, you're to do the work of the Lord. We hire you to do the work of the Lord. You don't hire me nothing. God wants me to do his work, and God wants you to do his work. We're to do the work of the Lord, all of us. All of us. We can all labor together. We can all work together to see God. We want to pray that God would accomplish something, that God would give an increase, that God would do something. And you know, as we labor together, we'll be rewarded together. Labor together with God, labor together with other Christians, and be rewarded together. You know, you can have a little part, and you can have a little part, and you can have some part. You know, it's a blessing sometime if, you know, you could have one person that goes out on a Saturday or Thursday or whenever, any day, and they pass out some tracts or they pass out some church flyers and they try to invite somebody to church. And maybe a family then shows up for church on a Sunday. And that family comes in here and maybe their kids go in Sunday school and they hear the gospel. The kids go in junior church and they maybe hear the gospel. And then maybe sometime after junior church some week, those kids end up trusting Christ as their Savior. Maybe sometime that mom or dad gets saved in a church service or in their home somewhere. You say, well, it was them. No, it was maybe people that started to pray for them. It was that person who passed out a flyer and invited them to church. It was that Sunday school teacher in a class, that junior church teacher, that maybe that person that preached the gospel, that person that went to their home and visited with them and shared with them the gospel. See, many people could have a part in maybe reaching one family for Christ. We could all be a part. We can be laborers together, and God's word tells us we'll be rewarded together for it too. So let's be laborers together, knowing that we'll be rewarded together if we've done the work of the Lord. Let's do it for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,